Greetings, friends, in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is Pastor Dennis Deals. We will now, today, endeavor to tackle our third lesson, or study, if you want to call it that, of the first chapter of the First Timothy and the first verse. These are 15-minute messages, or what I call audio commentaries, and they're designed to enlighten, to strengthen, and encourage the people of God. Let us pray before we get very far into this. Father, give us divine wisdom today through the Spirit of God to explain and understand thy precious word, thy perfect word, and thy preserved word. Amen. In the previous lessons, lessons number 1 and 2, we discussed the first word of the first chapter in the book of 1 Timothy, which is the word Paul. In this lesson today, we will mention more about Paul just a little bit, and then we'll move on into the rest of this verse. The first mention of Paul is found in the Bible in Acts chapter 7 and verse number 58. And this is what it reads. And cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. He's described here as a young man, and his name is called Saul. Saul, as I've said in the previous lesson, is his Hebrew name. Paul is his Gentile or his Greek name. In other words, Saul is the Old Testament name for Paul of the New Testament, and vice versa, of course. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew, and the New Testament was written in Greek. He is called Saul before his conversion on the road to Damascus. Now, I want us to look at another phrase in this first verse. We're going to move a little further into it. That phrase is an apostle of Jesus Christ. An apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, we want to look at these five words. This phrase, an apostle of Jesus Christ, is found 9 times in the New Testament. Paul uses this phrase 7 times, and the Apostle Peter uses it 2 times. The references that Paul uses it in is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 1, Colossians chapter 1 verse 1, 1 Timothy here in our text chapter 1 and verse 1, as 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 1, and the book of Titus in chapter 1 and verse 1. The references that Peter uses it is found in 1 Peter chapter 1:1 and 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. Now I want to look at that, an apostle of Jesus Christ. We want to look at that word an, A-N, that is A-N. This word an denotes that there are other apostles. That's what I want you to keep in your mind as you study with me on this. In other words, Paul and Peter are saying, we're not the only apostles. The apostle Paul and the apostle Peter, they're recognizing they're among others of the same title and of the same office. This title is not taken lightly by either Paul or by Peter. This title denotes a special position, and it really is. And it is not used by either of these men in any kind of prideful, boastful way whatsoever. The word apostle, and we want to look at that word apostle. That a word apostle is mentioned only 19 times in the Bible. And one quick point to notice about this word apostle. Every time, for a total of 19 times, the word apostle is mentioned in the Scriptures, it's not capitalized nowhere except in one verse. And that one verse is Hebrews chapter 3, and verse number 1, which says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Here, that word apostle is capitalized and the only place in the Scriptures that it is. And the reason is, it's capitalized simply because this verse is in reference to the person of Jesus Christ, not in reference to a man. Jesus is not recognized in this verse as an apostle, but he's recognized as the apostle. That word the, a definite article, T-H-E, that denotes there's none other above him. The reason is because there is none greater than Jesus Christ. Thank God for that. Amen. I praise the Lord for it. Here, he is the apostle of all apostles. I say hallelujah. Amen. Peter does not refer to himself as the apostle, but he refers to himself as an apostle. Here's a little note. Let me just give you something to chew on just for a minute. Paul does not refer to himself as the apostle either, except in one place. In the book of Romans, chapter 11, in verse number 13, Paul does use this term. And here's what he says, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle, see that, of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." Now, I want to point this out. In this verse, he's not referring to the position of an apostle, amen, so much as he is taking on the task of being a preacher to the Gentiles. The emphasis in this verse is on the Gentiles and not on his apostleship. You see, Paul is definitely, thank God, shown out in the scriptures many places, Paul definitely is the apostle to the Gentiles. God chose him that way. Now, we've seen the word an apostle. Now, we want to go a little bit further and just take that word apostle by itself for a little bit more. We want to look at that word more in detail. Apostle. The word apostle is mentioned, as we've already said, 19 times in the scriptures. You see, this is a New Testament word. The word apostles is mentioned 59 times in the Bible. The Old Testament mentions prophets, but it does not mention apostles. The apostles take the place in position and power as the prophets did in the Old Testament. The prophets were the Old Testament spokesmen of the Word of God in the Old Testament, and the apostles are the spokesmen of the Word of God in the New Testament, especially in the early church. And that's very important to keep in your mind. The apostles were used for a specific purpose and a reason, and that was to establish and anchor and settle and get the foundation of the church set up and get it on its feet. They were instruments of God. That's what an apostle is. He's an instrument of God. And God used these apostles to establish the Bible doctrines. Then these Bible doctrines are still in play today. Thank God for that too. Amen. And we just rejoice in that. It's recorded in the book of Acts, chapter number 2, in verse number 42, on this line. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." You see, the church of today, it's declined and it's forsaken and it's left the doctrines as a whole that were established by these apostles. Oh, what a shame. But I see in the Word of God, they're to be held and practiced in order for the church to be the church that God needs and wants it to be. Amen. Another bit of interest that we might want to point out while we're on this word apostle, there's a word called apostleship, and it's mentioned 4 times in the Bible. Get your concordance and look it up, and you can kind of see what the standing of it is. Now, an apostle, he's one that's been sent, or one who's sent forth. A disciple, and there's a difference between a disciple and an apostle. A disciple is a taught one. The Lord Jesus Christ called 12 disciples to help him and to be part of his earthly ministry while he was up here on the earth as God in the flesh. You see, he taught them 3.5 years before he was crucified the basic fundamentals of everything that they should know. Then after he taught them, he sent them forth and he gave them a commission. That commission is also to the church today, and we find it in Matthew chapter 28 verses 19 and 20. And Jesus is the one that gave it. And he said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. These disciples witnessed the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's proven by the Word of God in Acts chapter 4, verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. You see, they witnessed the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Keep this in mind. Only 11 of the original 12 disciples saw the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Judas Iscariot, he was one of the disciples, but he was also, the Bible said, was a devil. And he betrayed the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. And after he betrayed the Lord, he went out and hanged himself. And this happened before the Lord was ever crucified. So he didn't see the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The disciples came along after the resurrection, of course, and only having 11, they got concerned about it. So they chose one and cast lots for one in the first chapter of Acts. And they chose one by the name of Matthias, and they supposed him to be taking the place of Judas Iscariot. But he was man's choice, and not the choice of the Lord. We believe, and I've strongly preached this down through the years, we believe that Paul was the man to fill the position of Judas Iscariot as an apostle. And I preached that and believe that, and it's helped me to understand the Word a little bit more. And we see that. Now, one of the requirements of being an apostle is that they had to see the resurrected Christ. And we believe that Paul saw the Lord in one or two places. You can figure it out and pick what you want. He either saw him in Arabia, as is seen in the first chapter of the Galatians, where he was there for 3 years. And he conferred not with flesh and blood, but he went to the Arabian desert. And there, he could have seen the Lord. Or he could have seen the Lord on the road to Damascus when the Lord appeared to him in all of his glory. And we see that, and it's a great possibility that happened there. You see, the presence of Christ on the road to Damascus was so strong that Paul was without sight for 3 days, and he did not even eat anything. Now, some will argue with you that Paul never saw the Lord, since the Lord had already ascended up into heaven, you know, off the Mount of Olives. But let me give you some clarity. We can find clarity out of the Word of God. We'll turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, over into chapter 15, and we'll go down to verse number 3 and read a few verses there. And the Word of God is able to shed light and show us things that we don't know. And I tell you what, the Word of God is good to do that. The Bible said here in these verses, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." I don't think any of us have any problem with that. Then he goes on to say, "And that he was seen of Cephas." Now Cephas is another word and another name for Peter. Then he said, "Then of the 12." After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, and he saw them from different times and in the days that he had us before he ascended up off the Mount of Olives. Then he goes on to say, "Of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep," or some have already died, is what Paul is saying. He said, after that, he was seen of James, then of, notice this, all the apostles. And last of all, and here's where the kicker is, and this is what helps us. "And last of all, he was seen of me, also as of one born of out of due time. Now, Paul saw the Lord. You can't argue with that today. The Lord has shown us that. He said, "For I am the least of the apostles, that I am meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." Now, the word apostle comes from the Greek word apostolos, meaning, and I'll spell it for you, APOS-TOL-OS, meaning a messenger commissioned with authority and sent forth with certain orders. And that's exactly what happened to Paul. He had certain orders. Now I want to move to the next phrase, and we'll have to stop here and pick it up in the next lesson. Next lesson will be lesson number four. And I trust these lessons will be a blessing and a help and a strength. You see, the Word of God is so real, so fresh. God bless you. It's my prayer. Father, take these words and use them for your glory and honor. Amen and amen.